We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome in. We're so glad you're with us. You got Molly and Hanley, and it's David Hawson in for Mike Mulligan. Mike down in spring training and going to take in lots of Cubs and Sox. Good morning, David Haw. How are you
morning,
doing?
Morning, Brian. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. And thanks for coming by and sitting in. We'll be lost in translation between now and 9 a.m.
Nobody will think that I lost 15 pounds today.
Now, you were...
Just been, take a look.
Yeah. And you went down to spring training.
Yes. Took down in Arizona a couple weeks ago.
And you missed the Michael Kopech outing yesterday.
Yeah, that was... interesting to see him struggle because I thought based on all reports that he was going to be untouchable all year, every outing. It's probably not a bad thing that he struggles a little bit. That's not the worst thing in the world for a young guy who's had a lot of success, a lot of attention to, you know, tap the brakes a little bit on the momentum and learn from those kind of mistakes. We talked to Rick Renteria later in the show. Be curious to see what he thinks of that and his development.
Yeah.
Yes, Kopech struggled.
Yeah, four hits, five runs, three walks, no strikeouts, home run. He was at least very aware of what was going on, talked about all the mechanics that were failing him, and we can get into that. Cubs dodged a little bit of a bullet, it looks like. Javi Baez pulls up after hitting a double, and they take him immediately out of the game and reminded me, apparently dehydrated. And by
cramp, right?
Yeah. Well, by his own admission, he hydrates and drinks water while he's working out, but pretty much the rest of the day, H2O is not on his mind. Reminded me, remember Carlos Zambrano when they told me he had to eat more bananas because apparently he had, carpal tunnel?
Yeah, because he was up too late on the computer.
With his brother.
Yes, of course. His brother, air quotes.
He was up all hours, and the arm was going back and forth, back and forth, back in the day when we didn't have FaceTime and... Yeah, whatever. But he was dehydrated.
This is what get to know about guys when spring training is 6 weeks long and the team has no issues. Javi Baez's hydration schedule. Let's break it down.
Yeah, we could take a listen to Javi because he explained it as well. And you know, here's a guy. I learned a little bit about him on MLB.com. He has a working farm down somewhere around like Orlando. He gets up in the morning.
Javi?
Yeah, he lifts weights. Then he gets in a golf cart and he's like feeding the horses and the chickens. And I mean, the guy is, of all the people you would have suspected,
this is what,
was like
something
gentleman
I'm learning
farmer.
Something new for the first time here, Brian. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Javi Baez lives in a farm in the off season.
He owns his working farm and he's out there working the farm. And, you know, the guy, the flashiest guy out there, the tag metrics, you know, the guy who can
putting on overalls, going out on the tractor.
I mean, I don't think he was actually with the straw hat and the, you know, the piece of straw hanging out of his mouth. But he gets in a golf cart and, you know, drives along the post and makes sure that each bucket has grain in it for the oats in it for the horses and, you know, spreading feed out there for
when
the chickens.
When he spreads feed, does it as quick as he tags?
Yes, that's it. The chickens don't even get a chance.
One motion swoop.
Yeah. Boy, he can feed 10 chickens.
He is the best feeder in northern Florida.
Yeah, he can feed 10 chickens with one quick move.
Chicken feed metrics.
Yeah, that's right. A blink of an eye. And, you know, they're all sitting there just like they can't move. They're so fat. But, yeah, he talked about –
Well, what does he have to say? What did he have to say about his injury? Do we have that?
So there you go. Felt a cramp.
Well, if you're going to avoid a cramp, you want to get back to that farmer's sort of diet. You know, maybe some bacon and eggs. First thing up, crack of dawn. Come on, Javi. You have to nourish yourself. It's a long season. It's a long spring training. God, is it over yet?
Well, hey,
three more weeks yet of Brian of this.
If Ian Happ can continue to do what he's doing.
You're going to give me crap about that now? Are you going to challenge my Ian Happ leadoff idea?
Well, I mean, the other dudes have to, you know, get in the game at some point. I guess Elmore has, to a degree, the last couple games with the long ball, but... So far, Ben Zobrist with the bad back didn't have the great debut the other day. And
we could only take this March sample and apply it to, like, you know, August, September, October. It's just Ian Happ is off to a great start. We talked about it, wrote about it. Is it sustainable? This is a guy who
His numbers are pretty good, over 115 last year.
Yes, they were.
And dropped in the middle of May when he wasn't expecting to be up here.
And then forgotten in the playoffs. Right. Forgotten in the playoffs for whatever reason. I know that they have matchups and experience and all those factors. But to me, he's one of the more intriguing guys out there because I think he's a little bit overlooked compared relative to the other young stars that they have. I don't know that people think of him as a young star yet. And you look at what he's capable of in these small sample sizes of spring training, and it is only spring training, but he's got all his tools. He's a toolsy guy.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
As they say. And I think that his speed makes him more suited for the leadoff role if he could reduce his strikeouts, be a little bit more disciplined at the plate. He's got power. He's got speed. He's got what other people who are, you know, potential leadoff candidates don't have. So that's why I think that, yeah, this is a good idea.
By the way, Cubs and Sox, Mully will be there firsthand to watch Cubs Sox tomorrow right here on The Score. You can
live
hear
reports.
That first pitch, 2:05 right here on The Score. So lots of baseball. And also last night, the Blackhawks doing what they unfortunately have been doing too much of at home, losing yet again to the Carolina Blackhawks, 3-2, and didn't look all that good doing it. And Scott Darling, who's had a rough go of it since signing the big contract with Carolina. Between the pipes for that win. And I was saying to you before the show, David, Teuvo Teravainen, you forget how good that guy was now that he's a couple of years removed from being here because he was a sweetener for Carolina to take the Brian Bickell contract.
Yep.
And, you know, as much as, you know, the Brian Bickell story ended and the way it ended in Carolina and a very emotional ending of his hockey career, that contract was yet again a contract that was not movable unless you really sweeten the deal. And boy, did you sweeten the deal with a 23-year-old two-way player who has 19 goals right now.
Leading them in scoring.
Yeah, and 34 assists. And boy, wouldn't he look good in a Blackhawks
sweater. Would look great. I exaggerated his debut. I can remember getting carried away, announcing the arrival of Teuvo time. I remember getting sort of a little bit over your skis, predicting greatness for this kid. And he helped them win a cup, Brian. People kind of forget that he was instrumental in that 2015, cup final. And I think that you see the potential, and you see that they made a mistake here. He's the one that got away. He's the guy that you didn't really. You understand they were cap strapped and everything, but you had one bad decision. Understandable why Stan Bowman paid Brian Bickell what he paid him. It was sort of a reward for helping them win in 2013. But $16 million. So you had one bad decision of a contract, and you had to you made another one.
You
in
compounded
trading,
it, yeah.
Yeah, Teuvo to kind of justify or compound that. He is smooth, he is young, and he's dangerous. And he's all the things that the Hawks are going to regret seeing over the next 5 to 10 years.
We'll talk some Blackhawks, certainly, before we get out of here. We have a great show planned for you. Mike DeCourcy, our buddy from Sporting News, is going to stop by, talk some NCAA. We got the conference tournaments wrapping up this weekend, Selection Sunday on tap. We got Bruce Levine down in Arizona. We'll check in on both the Cubs and the White Sox. Rick Renteria, the manager of the White Sox, will join us. And Brandon Morrow, the new closer for the Chicago Cubs, will also check in before we check out. So we invite your calls, 312-644-6767. You know how to text the show. The text zone, 670-11-67011. 5 at 5 on the other side. You got Mully and Haley on The Score.
This segment sponsored by Cece's New Crust, New Sauce, New York-style pizza. Now at Cece's, grab an extra large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and the new cheesecake brownies for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet, it's just 5 and change. Only at Cece's, prices vary, restrictions apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Houston Astros pitcher Dallas Keuchel dismissed the possibility of suffering a World Series hangover a la the 2017 Cubs. "We're not the Cubs," Keuchel said. "I firmly believe we have better players." Would you take the Astros roster over the Cubs?
You're asking the wrong guy because I'm a Cubs fan, and I'm going to answer this with my heart, not necessarily my head. But on first blush, I would say, even with my head, no. Now, they've got a great young core, just like the Cubs do. And you know, I would argue Dallas Keuchel. And by the way, the Gerrit Cole signing, I think, is a terrific under the radar, as much as Gerrit Cole can be under the radar type addition to a World Series championship team. He's only going to make that team a hell of a lot better, and I think you're going to see an even better Gerrit Cole with a better team around him. But, you know, get back to me when you've not only won a World Series, which you've done, but when you're in the ALCS for 3 years, right? Three consecutive years. You know, and he snapped off the answer, too. You know, we'll find out how legitimate World Series hangovers are, because this is the even shorter offseason because of the earlier opening day.
It's a week shorter, yeah.
Yeah, 148 days this offseason. And by some of his teammates' own admission, you know, the parades and the trips to Disneyland and going doing Saturday Night Live, all the things that the Cubs participated in, or a lot of them did, in the glow of the World Series championship, they enjoyed it, and they talked about how exhausting it was. And it wasn't until December that some of them really came down from the World Series cloud. I would argue that they had an easier road to get to the World Series. Okay, I mean, and God mm-hmm. bless them, they took the Dodgers to the mat and found a way to win that thing, and they are deserving champions. But I would say that the Cubs having to get through the Nationals and through the Dodgers and at World Series time through the then very tough Giants, very, very difficult. So I'm moving forward. I think the Cubs have a deeper team. Maybe they don't have the same top line bona fide, this guy, okay, position by position. You might end up with the Astros having more stars versus, okay, I'll take Correa, I'll take this, you know, head-to-head guys. But when I think you look at the totality of the roster, I'm taking the depth of the Cubs and the versatility of the Cubs. And, you know, we'll see about the bullpen. We'll talk to Brandon Morrow today, but we'll see if they've replaced Wade Davis like they replaced Aroldis Chapman.
Both teams have bullpen issues. You know, I think that when you look at the weakness of both teams, you might look there. You can't go wrong with either team. In a best of seven series, you would be 50-50. The rosters are very comparable. I don't blame Dallas Keuchel for saying that they're better and they're not the Cubs. Look, the Cubs World Series hangover was harder to get over than I think the Astros will be, because it was a cultural phenomenon when the Cubs won. There was the weight of history removed. There were so many other factors. The Astros winning was a big deal, but the Cubs winning was a much bigger deal nationally. And it just felt like it lasted forever. The celebration and spring training was just an extension of that.
It was an international story.
It was. So I know.
I mean, Tom Ricketts was going to Monte Carlo to accept awards for Sports Organization of the Year or whatever.
Nobody expects the Astros to have to deal with the same sort of dynamic that the Cubs dealt with. So, yeah, they're not the Cubs, and that's a good thing for them. They should embrace that as they are. I don't think Cubs fans should take that, be oversensitive to the idea that somebody on another team is saying that they're better than the Cubs. What should he say? What should he think? They're the defending world champions.
By the way, Vegas has them 7-1, Astros to get back to the World Series, and Cubs 12-1.
Wow. You know, they're signing, you're right, Brian, Gerrit Cole is just as good and sneaky good as the Cubs getting Darvish. It's a wash there. So, great teams. Great seasons. I don't know that one is better than the other, but if I had to pick one team right now, I'm going to stick with the Cubs. I think the Cubs would have a slight edge over the Astros.
It sounds like teams are already sick of spring training here on March 9th. The other day, the Dodgers are snapping about Ohtani. And
boy, Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. He's a guy. He's just a guy. I beat him. You know, he didn't come to our team to hell with him. He's just a guy.
Yeah, they were mad because they thought it was a complete waste of time, the whole thing. Just recruiting him, a complete waste of our time. And now it sounds like the Astros are just sick and tired of the Cubs comp that they're going to get all season long. And I think this is where this stems from. And you go down the entire roster, starting pitching, I mean, the fours on this team. You have Jose Quintana and Lance McCullers. They're both very deep at starting pitching. But because of what they have at the top end, with what Verlander did, if he can do anything close to that again – yeah, I would take the Astros starting pitching staff over the Cubs, too. Center field, Springer, second base, Altuve, shortstop, Correa. Houston has advantages there. Now, the Cubs have a big advantage, I think, at catcher with Wilson Contreras, of course, Chris Bryant, and Anthony Rizzo. Left field, right field, those are up in the air. So going position by position, it's pretty close. Cubs are deeper. But, yeah, I would take the Astros roster over the Cubs today.
Thank you for bringing a little sensibility to the program, Joe. I thought I was going to be the first one.
Who cares?
I thought I was going to be the first one to declare the Astros roster superior, which I think it is. The Cubs have a better bullpen, but I think that's as far as it goes. I think Houston has a higher caliber starting pitching staff, especially at the top. The Cubs, you know, 1-5, depth-wise, it's fantastic, but they don't have somebody the caliber of a Dallas Keuchel or a Justin Verlander. And you mentioned Lance McCullers, their number four. He's 24 years old. He could be another ace in the mix there if he manages to stay healthy, which has been a problem for him. But I think the starting staff is better with Houston. I think their offense is better. They scored more runs than anybody else in baseball by a pretty wide margin last season. And similar to the Cubs, they're all young guys. They're all going to continue to get better. So I would definitely take the Astros roster over the Cubs without question. I don't even have to think about it twice.
Hater.
I don't have to think about it twice.
Did the metrics tell you that, Kevin?
the metrics support my intelligent argument, Dustin. Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, no, I asked. I didn't. I asked.
They
if the
support
metrics,
my intelligent argument.
Well, my eye test tells me that the Cubs
there
are
better.
There you go. Okay, and people care more about the Cubs, so that's maybe why the Cubs hangover.
We're in Chicago.
Okay, well, anywhere. I mean, I don't know if the people in Houston care about the Astros.
Not until last year.
Let alone the national. You know, Dallas Keuchel, worry about your beard, right? He's that guy with a goofy. You know, go follow ZZ Top. Go be a ZZ Top head or something. Everybody's crazy about a sharp dressed pitcher.
So I assume you're taking the Cubs roster.
Very good, okay. Kevin. That's good.
I needed the metrics for that one. Do you believe Michael Kopech's rough start Thursday had anything to do with GM Rick Hahn saying Kopech was headed back to the minors?
No, absolutely not. That was not news to Michael Kopech. He still, in the back of his mind, probably thinks he can pitch his way onto the roster, but that was not a surprise. That has been the plan all along. What happened yesterday was baseball. This is a guy who started like a guy like the top prospect and looked like a guy who was ready for the majors. But he's young. He's going to make mistakes. This is good. This is really in the back of the Sox mind. They have to be, you know, somewhat relieved that isn't going through spring training mowing everybody down and looking like a guy where everybody's going to ask, boy, when are you going to bring him up? When are you going to bring him up? Why didn't he make the team? He needs to struggle to succeed. That's all part of sports. That's all part of this process. He said that he was out of sync. His mechanics were off. That's good awareness for a guy who is so naturally gifted that things seem to come easily to him. So maybe this will make him slow down, maybe make him pay more attention to his mechanics, do the little things that will create big results later. So I don't think it's related, and I don't think it's such a terrible thing.
Yeah, David, you know, the other day when we were asking what you expect from Yu Darvish in his debut, I said a lot of times, or at least I do, I want to see a guy get in trouble and then get out of that trouble. And that's what I want to see from a guy like Yu Darvish, who is the veteran star and you know, didn't get out of it in the World Series. And he did just that the other day. He got himself in a little bit of trouble with the Cubs and got out of it. A young pitcher, it's refreshing to hear him say, hey, look, it was rough. And as you said, you know, he said he was speeding things up and that his arm was in front of his body. I mean, he could break down exactly the breakdown of the mechanics. And baseball's not linear. This is probably an affirmation for him. He seems like a bright guy, and he seems like he's self-aware. And somewhere in the back of his head, he probably was thinking there was a chance he could break camp with the White Sox, even if it was a 2% chance. But Rick Hahn, you know, eliminated that 2% chance the other day. So maybe there was a little bit of a hangover thinking, okay, I've got to prove myself. Maybe he was trying to go out there and really show everyone, well, okay, I know I'm heading back to the minors, but, you know, the fact is, watch this. And then all of a sudden he's overthrowing like he was doing. I think there was maybe a little bit of a correlation, but not a direct correlation. Nothing major here. I think, you know, Michael Kopech had a bad day at the office. He knows it. I'm sure, like, right after that outing, he and Coop probably went to a backfield and started throwing again, or at least going over the video and, you know, breaking down what he needs to work on.
Since the question says anything, I will say yes, just a tiny bit. Now, maybe less than 5% of the reason that he had his struggles yesterday, but since it's anything, yes, a little bit. Common sense tells you there's no way in hell he was breaking camp with this team. He had two starts and four innings. People were excited. but they weren't going crazy that you must bring Michael Kopech with the big club. We all understand the process, and this is part of it. You want to see him struggle a little bit and then bounce back the next time at his next start out. He's only had three starts down in Charlotte. That is not part of the plan. So, but since it says anything, yeah, I think it was on his mind since he got the news. Yeah, you're definitely not coming up with the big club, at least not right away.
He's 21 years old. I don't think that he ever thought realistically that he would be able to break camp with the White Sox this season. I mean, in his mind as a competitor, he has to have that mindset. But realistically, he knows the business of baseball, I think, and the fact that the White Sox are not going to compete this year on a playoff level. And it is all about getting the extra control of a guy. So I think, sure, he's approaching it with the mindset that, yeah, I want to be on the major league roster opening day, but he knows really that that's not a realistic option. So I don't think it was in the back of his mind, and I disagree with you guys. I don't want to see him struggle ever. I want him to go out and throw a no-hitter every single time he gets the ball, whether it's a double-A, triple-A, the major leagues, the independent leagues, wherever. I don't want to see him struggle, because if you don't struggle, you don't have to bounce back.
Do the metrics like me, tell you that's excellent. A possibility?
I'm excellent all the time. I don't struggle. So if Michael Kopech could be a little bit more like me, I think that could be a good precedent here.
But don't your bad days make your good days all the more enjoyable?
I don't have bad
enjoyable?
Days, David. I don't have them.
Winning every day.
I get to sit next to Dustin every day. How could I have bad days?
now you're getting
living
smart.
Living the dream.
Now you're getting smart. It must be that Dunkin' Donut coffee that you're drinking.
I run on Dunkin'.
Keeping you smart. You like the fact that the guy's got emotion. I like that from any player of professional sports or college sports or even high school sports. But I do think, he's pouting here, even though I think he knew that this wasn't a possibility. And then the excuse, I don't like the excuse making. Well, I can go back to, we heard that cut in the first segment of the show, right? I can go back to my heat anytime I need it. Maybe it was Joe's update, whatever.
Yeah.
But today I was working on a curveball and I threw this pitch in this count. And that sounds like a bunch of excuse making to me. Even if you were doing that, own it. Didn't have my stuff today. Wasn't my best. Own it. Take it like a man, right?
Well,
Don't make excuses
that's hard
out of
show,
it.
Isn't it? Because this is a guy that I think is trying to be as accommodating as possible.
Yes.
He's got a lot of personality.
He's got swag.
He's trying to be as thorough in his explanation as possible. I didn't read
I
it.
Love that.
I didn't sound it didn't sound to me like excuse as much as it was like explanation.
He said this about Jorge Soler, your guy Dustin, that he went yard on him. He said that was the slowest pitch I've thrown since I was 17.
Right. I mean, just that sounds like excuse making to me.
Yeah.
Right.
But
that sounds like a guy who's pretty seasoned in front of the microphone to me.
And Soler did hit it, so there had to be a reason.
Yu Darvish at 10-1 is the top Cubs pitcher projected by sportsbooks to win Cy Young. Do you believe he is the team's best starter?
He's the shiny young thing, and he's the $126 million man, and that said, expectations are very high for Yu Darvish. I think Jose Quintana, I keep your eye on this guy. A full season with the Cubs, quietly going about his business because that's how he is and that's how he approaches things. By the time it's all said and done, I think he's going to be in the conversation for Cy Young. And if you get more than one, God bless him. But I think, a 10-1, is there value in that pick when you look at Clayton Kershaw's 2-1, tops the list. I mean, he's the great Clayton Kershaw, and if he stays healthy, I guess you just put his name on that award every year. But if you're looking for value, Max Scherzer 4-1, Strasburg 5-1, Zach Greinke at 8-1. I mean, I'll take Darvish over Greinke right now. And if you're looking for value, I'd probably take Scherzer over Kershaw because Kershaw's probably going to get hurt. But I'm going, as far as the Cubs go, and the answer to this question, if Darvish is 10-1, what's Quintana? Is he 25-1? I'll take the 25-1 and bet that.
I like Darvish. I think that's probably a safer bet. Quintana's good, though, because he is so quiet and unassuming. And I think that you're going to see a more focused guy than the guy. He was good last year. He just had a couple hiccups. The guy that nobody's talked about as much, Tyler Chatwood's been very good this spring. You don't know if that's as sustainable, but he's a guy that quietly it just goes about his business. When you're ranking 1 through 5, the Cubs have such a deep staff that I think I would go with Darvish. Quintana probably too. Where does John Lester fit into that? You know,
are we dismissing Kyle Hendricks out of hand?
That's the
he was in the conversation a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't know that that's somebody that, you know, again, if you're
because he doesn't have
laying
the stuff,
odds,
right?
He doesn't have the stuff that make you say, wow, you know, okay, let's put him up there. So, yeah, I think Darvish is probably the way I would go.
This is just name value. This is the big contract in the offseason, the number one contract for a pitcher, and it's joining the Cubs, a ready-made team to win. And you just slid into the three spot, not a whole lot of pressure there. I think this would be a bad bet at 10-1. The numbers should be much higher than 10-1 for Darvish based on what we saw last year. With the Dodgers, his ERA was about 3.5, and with Texas, it was around 4. I would prefer a bet on Hendricks. I would prefer a bet on Quintana. I don't care what the odds are because I think Darvish is the third best pitcher in the Cubs rotation today.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Joe. The metrics last year said that Jose Quintana was better than everybody else in the Cubs rotation. And maybe that is down to Hendricks missing some time, which is unusual for him. That injury seemed to nag him a little bit as the season drew on. So I think I would go with either Hendricks or Quintana to emerge as the best of this five. I've said before, I think John Lester is going to be the worst of all five of the Cubs pitchers this season. David, I like where your head's at with Tyler Chatwood. That's going to be a pretty good sleeper, a great value signing for the Cubs to round out the rotation. But for me, I think it's going to be between Quintana or Hendricks or the actual ace of this Cubs staff this season.
Simply put, no.
I mean, anybody really? But you.
Anybody but no.
Why you?
No.
Miss you, Jake.
No. Now, if you wanted to,
no,
you wanted
this goes
to run
back
around.
To you, Darvish had the Cubs on the don't trade list.
I know.
Two times, not just once, Brian. Twice. Yeah. Not just once, twice.
And then the check cleared.
You know that's a business thing, and the agent, and
you're still mad at Fred McGriff too, aren't you?
Keep it.
Crime dog.
Dustin Howard. Where are you putting you? You have to put him in your top five.
Yeah.
Where are you putting you in your rotation?
Oh, I think the Cubs probably put him in the right spot. That's fine. Listen, he got nervous. He got nervous against the Dodgers in a spring training.
Dodgers
game.
Are good.
I mean, give me a break.
If you were filling out the rotation, though, if Dustin was filling out the rotation, where would you slot in Darvish?
I think he did get slotted properly.
Okay.
I do.
After Mike Montgomery,
is he the third best pitcher?
I can't even go there. Is he their third best pitcher?
Yeah,
I don't know that the slotting has to do with who's the first or second.
Just, right, but I'm just on you. Stuff on resume, on tools, on
eye test,
yes, age,
yes,
and everything.
Yes, he is probably. Quintana still has some sock stink on him, and Chatwood's fine. But that's like he's a guy that's
whoa. He had one bad inning against Detroit, Chief.
I saw a Chief Vanity license plate the other day.
Was Rosner driving
out, yeah,
it?
I thought I'd get my cell phone out and take a picture, but didn't want to get a ticket.
Well, that's a good question, Brian.
Now that Derrick Rose has signed with Minnesota, Bobby Portis dubbed Tom Thibodeau's team the Timber Bulls. Will you be rooting for them in the postseason?
No. No. I hope Derrick Rose makes a successful NBA comeback. I think anybody that's followed
his
story...
What are the odds on that, by the way?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, just matter-of-factly, what are the odds? I mean, it took him how many weeks to find the obvious
long
team?
Odds.
When he got cut, it
would be
like
a great story.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a fascinating tale, but I don't expect it. I think that his fall from grace, his fall from stardom has been as complicated and as interesting and compelling as anybody in Chicago sports recently. You do pull for a guy, I think, because out of habit, I mean, you want him to succeed, right? But I'm not rooting for the Timberwolves. I don't care about the Timberwolves. There's a lot of attention. I like Tom Thibodeau. I'm not a big Jimmy Butler guy. Never
no,
was.
Okay.
Why would you want that to... If you're a big Aaron Brooks fan, I mean, he's the other ex-Bull in that team. Taj Gibson, you have a lot of respect for.
Yeah.
But, and all Jamal Crawford. Gosh, how many ex-Bulls? Five, right?
Wow.
That's a ton. But no, I don't have any more interest in the Timberwolves going far in the playoffs because Derrick Rose is there.
How far are they going to go anyway?
I don't even think he can play a role. What role is he going to play?
So if he doesn't play a role, how does he get his career back on track? I mean, when he sat out for how many weeks? You know, everyone had him going to Minnesota like immediately, right? That was the obvious landing spot, and then it took how many weeks to get to this point? And if he's not going to play a role, how does the career get restarted? I mean, at what point and what opportunity?
He's going to need an off season, probably. He's going to need, you know, an injury,
another to give minimum him opportunity. Sign another minimum NBA minimum contract for 1 year. With some team and approve a contract.
His fourth team in 3 years.
This is a guy looking for a second max deal, and so where's his head at when he has to sign yet another
NBA journeyman
prove a deal? Yeah,
right now.
Look, I don't have a. You know, unfortunately, I don't have a horse in the race. When it comes to the NBA playoffs, you know, the Eastern Conference, a bunch of, you know, fake news. You know, Toronto, you know, yet again. The Raptors this year, watch the Raptors.
This year is going to be different.
Yeah, all right, you know, prove it. They always wet the bed when it comes time to break through. The LeBron soap opera, I appreciate LeBron's greatness and talent and everything else, but I can't get behind that group. So out west, if you're realistic, even if I'm rooting for Jimmy Butler, because he's a Marquette guy. I mean, look, I had Jimmy Butler fatigued like everybody else by the time the Bulls sent him packing. And Karl Anthony Towns, I'm a fan of his. I really like his attitude. I like his game. I love Tibbs, even with all his warts and faults and running guys into the ground, which, you know, there's legitimacy to that stuff. But, you know, right now, I mean, even if the Timberwolves were playing their A game, Timber Bulls were playing their A game with everyone healthy. Are they getting by Houston? Are they certainly getting by Golden State? I'll be watching. I don't know that I'll necessarily be rooting for them, but I'll be intrigued enough to follow their path wherever it takes them in the postseason.
Yes, I will be rooting for the Timberwolves in the playoffs. Tibbs, Rose, Taj, I guess because of Jimmy, too. Kat's one of the best players in the NBA. Wiggins, I like him, too. So there's no reason not to.
Did you just go Kat? Did you say
Kat? Yes.
Kat. You're going Kat on us. All right.
Mm-hmm. He's a star, man.
Yeah, he's a star.
We might get a Minnesota-New Orleans first-round matchup in the West. It keeps changing every single
Anthony
day.
Anthony Davis and that group. That's
Rondo.
Nico.
Rondo, Nico.
Nico guaranteeing victories.
That would be a lot of fun. But, yes, I do hope they go far, at least win a round.
I have more interest in New Orleans than I do in Minnesota. I think it's the Jimmy Butler factor. I just can't stare that long at Jimmy Butler anymore.
Wow, you got a lot of problems with Jimmy Butler, David. Did you guys have a run-in on the beat at some point over the last few
years?
That's
a long story.
Okay. Yeah, we got time. We're here tonight.
You'll see the shirt. I've been rooting for the Timber Bulls all season long. It didn't have to take Derrick Rose for them to become the Timber Bulls. They were already of that ilk before this signing. I don't think Derrick Rose is going to play a lot. I hope he manages to stay healthy and show some sort of semblance of a basketball player. But yeah, I'm going to be rooting for Minnesota. I don't know how realistic it is that they're going to be able to even
win. If he's playing a lot,
series.
Something went drastically wrong for the Timber Bulls.
I think that's a problem if Derrick Rose
is It's not
good
because he just wowed Tibbs in practice and we got to get him on the floor and he's pushing
well,
guys.
You can't sit Tyus Jones.
No. You can't sleep on
Tyus Jones having a good season. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Let's go T-Wolves.
I look at this as a pity signing by Thibs. I was going to root for the Rockets until Dallas Keuchel had opened his big ZZ Top mouth this morning.
Why not root for the baseball team, the whole city's on the do not.
He's got Houston stink.
On the pay no mind list.
Houston stink. Keep your Tex-Mex.
Chris Paul, I got no time for you. Talk to the pitcher. Talk to the hand.
How does your level of interest in Loyola making the NCAA tournament compared to how you felt with Northwestern making it a year ago?
Actually, a little bit more, because every year Northwestern was going to do it. I mean, they would throw an upset against Indiana when Indiana was Indiana. They'd throw a surprise party against Michigan State. Last year, you know, they made it, but it wasn't necessarily the upset that they made it because they had a pretty good group. This Loyola team, I didn't. They weren't on my radar at the beginning of the season. I hope Mully's not listening, but God bless them. You know, we're getting the backstories now. We're starting to find out about all the different kids on this team. Really enjoy Porter Moser. Love the time we spend with him here on the show. Just seems like a down to earth guy.
any guy that Rick Majerus and you know, teamed up with Rick Majerus, I got time for all day long because Rick was one of my favorite guys, and Porter seems to be cut from the same cloth as Rick, although I don't think Porter lives in a hotel and walks around without clothes on. But that's a different story for a Rick Majerus book. But yeah, it's you know, it's the last month or so, I was wondering if they're going to make it, even with the great resume and all the wins, 28 wins, and everything else. If they didn't win the conference tournament, it would have been a real disappointment for everyone attached to that school, certainly, but even for me, that they got left out because I thought they earned it, and they earned it and apparently did it the right way, as Porter said. So I'm all about the Ramblers moving forward and very excited, and hopefully they're going to win a game or two here.
Yeah, Northwestern had that dramatic moment, that victory against Michigan last year. Yep. Was sort of built up as the first day of March and kind of all the hype, but there was that sense of, boy, are they finally going to do it? We talked about Northwestern making it for a long time. It was very Cub-like in sort of ending all those years of futility.
I mean, I covered Bill Carmody teams that exactly. were going to do it, right? I mean, yeah. that was the theme.
Yeah. That was the storyline. With Loyola, you're right. It snuck up on everybody. It wasn't something that you sat there in October and you thought, boy, I wonder if this is the year. Porter Moser has had a lot of respect in the industry. He's had a lot of respect locally, but has been a very well-kept secret at Loyola in terms of making a national splash. And this is fun. I mean, the novelty has not worn off. This is a team that's experiencing everything for the first time. They were at the Hawks game last night. I talked to Porter, and he's talking about being in all these talk shows nationally. The amount of publicity you just can't measure for a university. I interviewed President Joanne Rooney for my Sunday column yesterday and talked about just the impact that the NCAA tournament berth is having on the university admission
process.
Did
she tell you it wasn't turnkey and that it's not the junior NBA?
No, didn't have that. The conversation.
Did she have a pantsuit on?
Did not go there. It was actually very interesting because.
Maybe if they get a new arena, things will turn out well.
There wasn't a whole lot of excuse making because there's not a whole lot of reasons for excuses. This isn't DePaul. This is Loyola. And I think they have emerged as this sort of mid-major Cinderella feel-good story that there happens every so often. They feel like they can do, you know, Loyola to Illinois can be what Butler is to Indiana. You mm-hmm. know, another option that's very viable and makes a lot of noise in March. So it's very comparable to Northwestern. It's very different, but I think it's just as enjoyable.
The Northwestern story was obviously bigger, but since it's about me and my level of interest, I hope Loyola is more successful and they make it to the second week. Last year, to be honest, I was sick and tired of the media across America telling me how great the Northwestern Wildcats are. And as always, we get another season with Northwestern when they're just handed excuses. Oh, they had to play all their games at Allstate. And then we found out at the end of the year, people are saying, well, they were hanging out with their girlfriends too much, or they didn't work hard enough in the offseason. So I hope Loyola does better.
Yeah, Loyola seems like a much more likable program. You know, the coach, the players, the fan base, pretty much all across the board.
You didn't like Louis-Dreyfus?
What don't you like about Chris Collins?
I think Porter Moser is a friend of the program. I think he's a fantastic talker. He's a nice guy.
Chris has been a friend of the program. Doug certainly is.
They're both friends.
I just feel like
Jim Phillips.
I just feel like the Ramblers
are best guys around.
Are much more likable to me. That's just my opinion. One guy's opinion. Who am I?
Second guy too.
Mully's not here.
He's always listening.
At this point, I think it's equal. It's on equal footing. Now, I think that there should be a little bit of pressure on Loyola actually to win a game, to get to that second game.
None. Zero. Zip. Zilch.
That's not good, though.
No,
then,
no pressure. Well,
but they're not approaching that way. They're not approaching it that way. But really, you know, even if
they need to at least equal Northwestern, and then they need to get back there next year.
There's nobody. Look, we can talk about it. It's a great question for us to debate. I can almost guarantee you there's nobody at Loyola that is evaluating their experience based on Northwestern's. There's nobody making that comparison.
Right. Oh, no, but I'm saying so but that's not the question.
They're not
the
going to have the documentary.
David, I agree with what you're saying, but that's not the question. The question is, how does your level of interest in Loyola? But, like, I need, if Loyola loses by double digits on
the first
Thursday
game,
or Friday, yeah. I think it's just a wah, wah, wah.
Well, it's very deflating.
It's very deflating. But, and there's no care. Like, they need to, if they win a game and then lose the second game by double digits, I think there's carryover into the next year.
Absolutely.
Like, I think I'd try to make a point to get my rear end out to the Gentile Center to see a game if they can win one game Thursday or Friday. But if they don't, I think it's just a shrug of the shoulders, like, meh, whatever.
Well, but I think, okay, the comparison to Northwestern is one question, but you introduced the idea of pressure. I don't think they have any pressure on them because making the tournament answered the question that they had all season long. I don't know that they have to win a game to stamp this season a success. It already has been. Hmm. So teams that are in that position, to me, go into the tournament playing loose, or they should, because they do have nothing to lose. Their season, they've already accomplished what they wanted to do this year. All right? They would love to go to the Sweet 16. It'd be a good story made better. But they don't have to do that to me for them to say, all right, we're good. They're good now.
The pressure is going to all be on their opponent.
Yeah.
If they're a 5-12, 4-13 matchup. And then if they end up pulling off the upset, they win that first game, they're going to have a much better shot than Northwestern did in the second round, because they're probably going to be facing a 4 or 5 seed in the second round.
So what do you think? 312-644-6767. It's your turn. You like Dallas Keuchel saying they're not the Cubs? In fact, he believes that the Astros have better players. Are you on board with that? Michael Kopech's rough start yesterday, did it have anything to do with Rick Hahn officially making it known that he will not be coming north with the White Sox? Yu Darvish 10-1. That's how the sports books have him to top Cubs pitcher to win the Cy Young this year. Is he your guy? Who is, if he's not? And Derrick Rose, are you following D. Rose wherever the road may take you, now up to Minnesota? The Timber Bulls, as Bobby Portis calls them, are you rooting for the Bulls of the North? And your level of interest in the Ramblers, are you on board the bandwagon, or did last year's Northwestern experience resonate more with you, and maybe this year's Northwestern experience kind of took the wind out of your NCAA sails? 312-644-6767. We'll get to your calls. 670-11 if you want to text the score. You got Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.